Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi folks, I'm Jack Kennedy and welcome once again to Farm Tech Talk, the livestock show. Thanks to Grassland Agro for helping us make this show happen. Mixed bag of weather this week, pretty typical of the time of year. This week I'm joined by Adam Woods, Darren Carty and Aidan Brennan. First up, it's the quick fire round. Remember, email your questions to farmtechtalk@farmersjournal.ie or WhatsApp 0868 366 4665. Adam, looking to you first here on a couple of quick fires. Adam, hi, I'm a young farmer currently doing the green cert looking into organics. I currently have 35 sucklers on 70 acres. I keep inputs as low as possible and sell weanlings when the money is right. I'm working off farm as well. Do you think organics would suit? I have done a lot of research and like what I see. What would the disadvantages be of going down this road, keeping a similar system? What's your opinion? Talk to me, Adam. Is organics the way to go for this young man?
Sure, look, I suppose maybe it depends on that part of the country they're in, Jack. I know, look, it's hard to argue for it up this end of the country, because I have a general feeling that when you start maybe not going with fertilizer or maybe looking after land up in the northwest, your land will go back in terms of in terms of lowering fertility and stuff like that. Whereas maybe if you're on better land and drier land and you're getting out early, then maybe it's more suited. So maybe it depends on where they are in the country. I'm not a fan of it, to be honest, but I know it's very hard to ignore the supports. But I genuinely think it's sort of closing the gate a little bit and maybe walking away from productive farming. And I think it's a bit of a dream as well as regards the markets. We're completely... I don't know anybody that has went in there with an idea that they want to go organic farming or they want to produce organic produce. They want the support, and that's the only reason they're going down that road.
Right, we might come back to it there in the main show. I might just come against you with a couple of more questions. Love the show. Just wondering if Adam received any update on the statement in Progressive Genetics Catalogue saying bulls are eligible... saying bulls are eligible back to January 2021. I was just wondering, is it the same with stock bulls also, please? Any update on that, Adam, in terms of 21? We were saying last week, I think when we discussed this, was 2023. September 2023.
It's my understanding. So it depends on what we'll say each scheme year that you're in. But we'll say if we take scheme year three, which is from the 1st of July 2024, calves born from the 1st of July 2024 to the 30th of June 2025. So the calves that are born, the calves that are bred this spring, we'll say that are inseminated this spring, the bulls that you're using this spring or this summer must have been 4 or 5 star within or across breed on the replacement or terminal index from the 1st of July 2023 onwards. So I think it's in the Progressive Genetics book that is from 2021 onwards. That wouldn't be correct. It's from the 1st of July 2023 onwards. But we still didn't get confirmation of that. Right. But that's my understanding at the moment.
That piece is still ongoing. It's assumed there's still changes being made and whatever. So excellent. Last quick fire for you, Adam, here at the moment. I've 3 bullocks going to the factory tomorrow, over 30 months. How should I approach this with my agent? Any differentiation there at the moment, Adam, on older bullocks?
Yeah, so you're back to 8 cent, I think, between 30 and 36. Is it eight
Is
or
there
12?
any
Yeah.
merit for arguing for a flat price? Like, is there enough
There
of?
might have been 3 weeks ago, but the way they are at the moment, it's
Okay.
not just that they're trying
Yeah.
to apply every sort of cut at the moment they can, including weights. But look, they're still very saleable stock.
Yeah.
And don't let an agent discount you too much. You should be working on the same base price, but it's just that quality assurance payment isn't as good.
Thanks, Adam. Back to you in a minute. Darren, looking at you, a couple of quick fires. Could somebody answer a question, please? Who is funding the cooperation groups, and will farmers know how much money is going to funding these and the admin of acres? Thank you, Darren. Cooperation groups and acres.
Yep, so Department of Agriculture is funding them, Jack. That's part of the ACRES program. I'm not sure whether there'll be, say, oversight on what funding has gone to what groups or what way they're funded. I don't know. It's something we'll probably look into, but I'm not at the moment. I'm not sure whether that's publicly available or
Okay,
not.
okay. So there's big numbers in there. Is it 18 or 20,000 in the cooperation stream of the
Yeah.
acres? Yeah.
Acres and then there'd be eight groups. Say there's eight different cooperation
Okay.
groups. The areas, I think there's one group looking after two corporations, so there's at least seven different, I suppose, organizations or companies that have been set up to look after.
Nice one. The department heralded the opening of BIS this week. Darren, I think we all got a text message calling on all advisors and farmers to submit early applications. So, this is I'd say it's from an advisor, and I have another one similar. I have about 150 clients in Acres Cooperation. How do I opt with any clarity to rescore parcels in 2024 without an oversight on scores from 2023? This, in my opinion, is not a fair position to put advisors or farmers in, and is another consequences of a failed IT system. How long can the cracks continue to be papered over with on acres? So, Darren, it's open. BIS 2024 is open, but this advisor is obviously frustrated because his acres clients aren't he's not sure where they, what stage of the game they're at, and no scoring done. Talk to me on that one.
Yeah, we've got a few calls, Jack, since Wednesday or since Tuesday, actually. Our first call came in on Tuesday night around this. The department said in their press statement themselves that Acres was opening, but not for everyone. And say, even
That
if we go
BIS
back
was
to
open.
Acres,
Sorry.
sorry,
Yeah.
BIS was
Yeah.
open, but not for everyone. Acres Tranche 2 applicants, they're the first ones that say there's no information on those because they haven't updated the maps. The acres, as this person is saying, anybody that's in Acres Corporation or Acres General from last year, that they can submit an application, but there's a question on it. It's when you get to stage seven of the BIS application, if you're in Acres, and it's asked you whether you want to rescore lands this year. So under Acres, the scoring process for the likes of low input grassland or any of the options on the are the scored, say, cooperation areas, they're scored in year one, three, and five to determine what a farmer is going to get paid. You can score them again in year two. You can opt to do that, but as that advisor is rightly saying, they've no clarity around whether it's a good thing to do it or not. I suppose where it come into question is if there was a low score and somebody thought it was too low and they wanted to raise it up next year, they could take their chances and put it in for rescoring. I'd say if it was a high score, people would be happy or satisfied to leave it as. But look at it's a very unfortunate situation, Jack. And you can see where that person is coming from. If he has 150 or she has 150 clients, like they want to get cracking too on
Yeah,
applications.
thanks, Darren. Back to you in a minute. Aidan, two quick fires for you. Hi, folks. Great show. Listen to me. Can you ask Aidan how long after spreading half a bag of urea can you graze with the cows? Thanks a million. Aidan, spreading urea, leaving the cows in.
Yeah, I'd have no issue, Jack, going in straight away, to be honest. I mean, if you spread urea at that rate, or no matter what the rate it is, really, and then go on and to pick up a fistful of grass, there'd be no urea in what you pick up. So it's going to fall down into the surface of the soil, and it's fine there. There's no issue really. So I'd be happy to go straight away.
Good job. Next one, Aidan, I have here for you. Hi all. I've received a BVD test result of a test Sorry, let me start again. Hi all, I received a BVD result of a test positive calf. I cannot see how this is possible as I don't purchase anything and I'm pretty secure with sheep to one side, a road to another boundary and good electric fences on either side of the ditch with a dairy farmer on the other. It is a heifer calf from one of my best cows. Can I retest again to check that the result is correct? Thanks for your help. There's been a couple of changes on this, Aidan. Has there recently?
So A lot of changes came in 2023, and the option to retest a calf is now gone. Right. So you have to basically remove that calf ASAP. If you do so within 10 days, and considering, I presume this is a dairy heifer calf, the farmer hasn't said whether it's dairy or beef, no. But I presume it's a dairy heifer calf, it's €160 that they'll get for removing that calf, putting that calf down. And if you delay that longer than the 10 days, you get a lower payment. And as far as I know, then your herd is locked up and your neighbors are notified. There's a whole load of triggers that come in then after that. Like, so I think the key thing is to, and look, it could be, you know, if it is BVD, like you're better off getting rid of it ASAP anyway. And even though the farmer says they're biosecure, you know, it can get in through various means and methods. So definitely I'd get rid of it.
Thanks, Aidan. Back to you in a minute. Adam, were you over in Stirling at the bull sales, were you?
I wasn't, unfortunately, Jack. I was tapping in and out online, all right. It was a record. Look, it seems to be going really, really well over there. Look, I suppose beef prices up.
No stairs over there.
No, they have breed plan, I guess. But look, at the same issues maybe there in terms of agreeing with breed plan figures and looking at animals. But we'll say beef price is going pretty good over there. You know, there's a lot of confidence over there. 6.10 a kilo. When you compare it, 6.10 euro the kilo. You know, numbers very tight. You know, finishers getting on very well. The store cattle trade very, very good. So there's a bit of confidence there in Suckland. And like to see Charlie Bulls there at 8,000 sterling of an average for 120 or 30 of them, it's an unbelievable average, you know, for a sale.
Is it up relative to...
It's a record, I think. It's up 500 sterling on the last sale, the same corresponding sale last year. So that's a huge lift. And, you know, Seven Hills is a really good trade as well. And I suppose you've got the headline prices for the pedigree herds and stuff. That's what we'll hear about. But the general run, you know, of Bulls was a real good, solid trade. And that's probably more important than anything in terms of not just having that very high piece at the top and then having a lot of low prices, but you have a good average. But it was a very solid trade.
Is there a lot of Irish selling over there or buying over there, do you reckon?
No, so there's no Irish buying there at the moment because we can't bring them in. So
can't put them into quarantine. No.
No, there's over 100 cattle, I think, purchased over there at the moment in quarantine to come in here. And they can't come in. They're looking at organising a sale for those animals actually soon because it could be a lot longer than expected. You know, there was a sale back in October and they were sort of announcing at the sale that we'd hope by Christmas to have these animals going over to Ireland. So that's, they reckon that's going to actually help Northern Ireland bull sales and possibly Southern Ireland bull sales as well, because the Northern Ireland breeders or Northern Ireland customers who usually go over to Stirling to buy their bulls won't be fit to go over there, so they might come south.
Okay, they won't get much money for their cementals at the way things are going with the stars. Like,
if they're looking for stars, maybe they may not look for stars either. Yeah,
correct. Adam, while we're talking about trade, talk to me first on the calf trade and where that's at. Like, I mean, that's at this time of the year, obviously we're getting into the kind of the numbers game in terms of export and boats and lorries, etc., and that kind of thing, and weather being important. Like, you know, any update on that side of things?
Yeah, I suppose maybe you might see a wee bit of a wobble this week, Jack. I looked in, tapped into Karen Ross on Tuesday, was it? And you know, it wasn't great, to be honest. There was a number of cows under the ring, not sold. I'm not sure they possibly were sold.
Frisians.
Yeah, Frisian cow, a lot of cows sold around the €5. You know, Frisian bull calves.
Yeah, less than 50 kilos.
Less than 50 kilos. And 50 kilos probably is the big one. And if there was anything to be said from looking in at that sale, it was over 50 kilos. Definitely, you were getting away maybe 20, 30, 40 euros. But under 50 kilos was definitely a big, big mark there as regards under that. But the big one here is the ships. Ships not going, not sailing due to weather until possibly the weekend. So that's a little bit of pressure. And exporters actually stood out of the market this week. They're only getting going anyway, but they've stood out because they don't want to be caught with those calves for longer than they have to. Interesting to see in terms of down in Bandon. Tommy's in Bandon obviously every Monday now for us, and calves back 700 ahead, 700 sorry calves back on the same week in 2023. And he's talking to farmers down there and some are saying, you know, delays in some of the tags coming back. We have that in the paper this week in terms of DNA calf registration, and just a little bit slower calves coming out there. And you know, probably 30 to 80 down in Bandon for that shipping calf price. Good calves, good dairy beef calves are still, you know, a real good solid trade there. Not a lot of them coming out there, obviously, but that's Frisian calf.
So that's the numbers in terms of what the calves are making. I see you have a piece there on the beef pages on dairy beef, and Nicky Byrne has a piece in terms of what numbers are he would expect in terms of profitability from that kind of well-stocked dairy beef operation. Like, I mean, what do you reckon?
Well stocked, Jack, that's the big one here. Look at, like, the utmost respect for Dickie Bourne, he's a great fella, and that's a really good trial, but I suppose it has to come with, I won't say a pinch of salt, but a little bit of a warning in terms of the level of management on that research trial is really, really good, and Nicky's doing everything right. So in terms of replicating that system maybe on tougher land up here when we're watching for Noah's Ark to come across the hill up here in Cavan, is a little bit more maybe difficult in terms of replicating that on tough ground. Like, we're not getting out up here until the 1st of April, Jack, and maybe not even the 1st of April. So you're never going to get the same grass growth or the same number of grazings that Nicky is getting. Now, Nicky's up on 15 ton of grass to the hectare. The average ice hog farm is back at 6. So everything has to be relative there. But look, he is a good performance. Carcass weight's around the 300 kilos, 294 for the low Angus. And profitability, it looks good for the high Angus, 360 he's in at. That was one of the trials in Grange. I'd have more concern for the trial in Johnston Castle on the heifers, because the three carcass weights that came in there is 239. This is a grazing trial, perennial ryegrass, multi-species swards, and perennial ryegrass and red and white clover. And we're to carcass weights here we're talking about is 239, 248, and 243. But that to me is way too low, because if that's the average, we've a lot of carcasses coming in there not in spec with our Angus heifers on that trial. So I'd be a little bit concerned about that. I was out in Grange this week, and interesting to see the trial that they've done out there with the Charlie Bullocks, that there's no difference in live weight gain, no difference in fecal egg counts, and no difference in performance, basically, on the multi-species swards versus grass clover swards. So I don't know, have we jumped the gun a little bit on the multi-species swards?
But is it a grass and clover piece compared to the multi-species? Was that the trial?
So they have bullocks up there on that trial, and we'll say grazing them and doing the records on them then during that grazing trial or whatever. But Eddie Reardon isn't finding any differences. No difference in dry matter intake, no difference in average daily gain, no difference in daily CH4 emissions, which is the big one, and everybody's talking about it in terms of reducing emissions, and no difference in fecal egg counts either, which people would have said maybe MSS swards were good for reducing fecal egg counts.
Okay, nice one. Exports, speaking of exports, Adam, in terms of bigger, the higher end and the fleshier end, like there's a bit of a demand out there still. You've news of a new boat sailing.
Yeah, we've done Algeria. It's the new people in town, and there we've done almost 7,000 animals over there already, as a combination of dairy heifers and fat bulls, in early January, and we've another load, Curzon livestock, in Cork, is currently out actively buying for 1,800 slaughter fit bulls, 600 kilos plus. Hoping to go sort of early mid-March with them to Algeria. No, there's no quarantine period on these, so these guys are buying straight to go on the boat, basically, whenever the boat lands. So 1,800 of them, it's another big boost to that. And look, it gives guys with bulls, maybe factories, maybe acting up a wee bit at the moment as regards prices and stuff, so it definitely gives another option there as regards heading to the boat with them.
Overall trade, Adam, back a touch by all accounts.
So, you know, back 5 cents probably last week, back another 5 cents. You're probably talking, you're in the ballpark there of 505, 510 for bullocks, heifers 510 to 515, depending on your bargaining power with your agent as regards that higher end of stuff. But it's definitely subdued a wee bit. You know, looking at the kill, we're up 2,000 on the same week in 2023, but that's cows, and it's all cows because prime cattle kill is very, very similar. And I suppose, look, at factories are doing what they do best. They're not hitting cow price because that's cheap beef for them to buy if it's going into mince, but they're hitting the prime cattle, which are more expensive for them to buy. So they're buying all grade cows still there this week at 450, which is a good price, seeing that, you know, prime cattle has come back 10 cent maybe in the last 2 or 3 weeks. So that's good business, I suppose, from their behalf. But it's disappointing to see for winter finisher because you know, the deer cattle went in, deer concentrates going into them, and here we're coming out now at the most expensive time of the year, and they're pulling back the price. Like, it doesn't instill confidence for the future of winter finishing. We said that every year, but it just seems to be getting, you know, lower and lower every year.
Adam, I'll finish up with ground conditions. And is there any bit of stock out up the northwest yet, or is there any pick of grass, or is there any of the bike stuff gone out?
No, it'd be three no's for that. Simple as that. I was talking to Pat Collins, who's a good dairy beef farmer down in Cork in Watergrass Hill, and he was saying that he has those light Frisian bulls out down there. But it's like heaven down there compared to Cavan.
He's in East Cork, Castle Martyr direction.
He made a good point. He's on rented ground and he says it's dear and he has to get he has to get the best out of it, you know. But I know there is, and I suppose maybe the four. You move south, there is. I see Yeos and Lambs will be heading out in some farms and bits of maybe light weanlands and stuff, but no, we're another couple of months off it up here.
Any crack out of Sean Diver in Tullamore Farm?
No, sure, he's calving away. I think he is
any 20, hardship.
20,
no.
20, no, no, he had one back whiz. I think that's all. Touch wood now. I think he is 28 on the ground. We're still undecided as the bulls. Obviously, we're deliberating.
You're holding tough on that now. 20th of February now at this stage. Like,
I know. We're deliberating there. We don't know what to do as regards.
I thought it was very simple. I thought we talked about it last week. Like,
as simple as that. Yeah, but look, we'll let you know whenever we do it. Yeah.
Excellent, super job. Thanks, Adam. Chat to you later. Darren, I was talking to my sheep farmer there. He was very happy. He had no hardship. Like, you know what I mean? Lemon was going well. He'd sheds were full, but he was happy, and that there was a peak of grass coming and he was going to get a few of them out. Like, so is that symptomatic of how sheep farmers are at the moment?
It depends on the where you are, Jack. Conditions are very mild, and there has been reasonable growth over the winter. Mm. That anywhere that was closed off, there is a nice bit of grass. But in some areas, underfoot conditions are terrible, is the best way you could describe them, and utilization is non-existent. Some areas, I suppose, that would be generally tending to earlier lambing is usually on the drier areas of the country, and they're getting away okay. But I think people will be looking for a small bit of a settle spell to try and bring some bit of drier conditions.
Yeah. Darren, I have this row with him every year. Like, he leaves the yaws out in October, November and December. Like, you know, because they're the ones that can stay out and they won't do any big damage and whatever. They clean the place, like. And then it comes to February and he's given out, like, you know, that he has yaws and lambs inside, like... I just can't understand it. Like, I much prefer to have yaws inside in November, and even if it's just November and December, and so that the yaws and lambs go out then in February. Am I off the wall? Like, or who's wrong?
No, you're right in that thinking. Well, from numerous angles, like, the cost is, you're nearly at double the cost now at the moment of having yaws and lambs in and supplementing them, and just the labour, like the labour of having yaws and lambs and trying to keep them. Trying to keep bedding dry, trying to keep yours fed, trying to keep disease fiction. Out is unread. Like, it's as you say, like, you'd be better having them in November and December to have grass at this time of the year. Like you do need that. I think if you're grazing in February, you definitely need that 110 days rest period, like to have enough grass to have you going, and even maybe 120 days. To be able to have a sort, I suppose, a buffer that if ground conditions are poor and you run through grass quicker, this at least you have enough grass coming up.
Yeah, no, I think so. Tell me, Hoggets are hitting the headlines this week. Like, in terms of what did you hit 200 a head in places?
Not quite the 200. Yes, 190 was hit on a few occasions. I think the best price I heard was 192. For I think there were 57 kilo Hoggets, but.
Is that up a lot relative to last year?
Yeah, it is up about 30, 35 euros a head, Jack. The factory trade is up about 120 to 140 kilo, and the live trade is slightly ahead of the factory trade at the moment. Actually, it's not slightly, it's significantly ahead of the factory trade. And I'd say they're probably up 30 to 35 euros, say a bit ahead of this time last year. And like, it's all driven by supply and demand. If we were to look at last week's kill, was 46,000 head. That was almost 7,000 head lower than this time last year, despite prices being 30 euros a head higher. So it just shows the tightness in supply. I had a good lot of queries and calls on it this week. Some people asking the 40,000 extra, say, lambs that Borbea predicted are they still in the system? Is it the fact that there's a lot of tail in NAMs? Are we going to see numbers coming yet? I think this, that numbers are going to stay tighter. And probably what you're going to start to see now is you're going to see your hogs being killed. And this is the first week where there's been a significant, I suppose, maybe reports from mart managers of your hogs turning up in the marts.
So Darren, you reckon what you're saying is that farmers that had these yow lambs or have these hoggets that were kind of targeting them for sale for next autumn for the breeding sales, that they're going to run to the market with them now because they see this 190, 200 euros a head on offer now, take the money and run?
I'd say there's probably three cohorts of farmers. There's a farmer that bought yow lambs with the option of, say, being open-minded and said, if the trade is good in spring, I'll kill a percentage of those. And they're killing those at the moment. Then there's your more, I suppose, maybe firm-minded farmer who buys a certain number, keeps them through to autumn breeding sales, and doesn't really deviate from one year to another.
Nice looking hobbits, they'll sell well in autumn anyway. You need something to eat the grass.
Yeah, stock and rate, land management. But I'm hearing that some of those, the prices are gone so high that some of them are just sort of looking and reviewing and sort of seeing this, is there a bottom 10%, 15% that's worth taking off now because where prices are at. And some of those are sort of saying that there was still a lot of hoggets. Even though hoggets were a good trade last year, there was still a lot of hoggets sold between 170 and 190. And if you're to put, and this is like very conservative, if you put 20 euros a cost between now and August to hoggets from shearing, from a bit of feeding, from fertilizer, whatever it be, like, it's a no-brainer on those lower quality or lower grade hoggets to capitalize on the prices of where they're at the moment. And then the last cohort is, there's a percentage of farmers that are weighing up and saying, will I keep numbers where they're at? Will I cut down a bit? And the risk is on those is that you'll see a small percentage of those hoggets being killed. Now, I've no bother. It's definitely good practice. And I'd say it's good practice for everybody to review hoggets because it's a long time since hoggets might be selected last September, October. Okay. You could have hoggets that didn't go as well, persistent lameness, all that type of thing. It's a great chance to get rid of the problem cases. But hopefully it won't, I suppose, maybe dilute the retention of hoggets too much.
Okay, nice one. Darren, we touched off it, I think, in the quickfire. So the BIS application window has opened 20th of February, give or take, when it opened. And now it is open until, give or take, is it the 15th of May, the middle of May?
Yep, 15th of May. So we're back to the normal date. Last year was the 29th of May, but that was because the first year of the CAP strategic plan, there was delays with acres and getting maps out. So the department looked for an extension straight off. I don't think that that is on the table at all this year, Jack. So I wouldn't be counting on there being an extension. I'd say planned for the 15th of March. Or sorry, 15th of May, that would be your date.
Yeah. So now this will focus the minds of farmers in terms of entitlements and maybe leasing entitlements, and the clawback piece is still on the table for this year. So the 20% clawback on the sale of entitlements, Darren, that was 2023 and 2024, am I right?
Yeah, and just to explain that a bit more. So if you sold 10 entitlements to me, Jack, in the past, the National Reserve or the department or whatever, say there was two of them subsumed back into the pot, and I got the 10 entitlements, you only got paid for 8 of them. So the value in your, there was two of those, say, entitlements clawed back. That's rule was taken away, and there was an amnesty for 2023 and 2024 to try and generate more sales of entitlements. There's a lot of surplus entitlements, or there's a lot of entitlements traded each year under the department are using this as a way to try and reduce down on the number of entitlements that are being leased out on a yearly basis.
Are you expecting, as a result of this, and we know that amnesty is there for 2024, as a result of that, are you expecting a lot of farmers to make the move, tidy up the situation, sell the entitlements rather than continuing as they are?
Yeah, I'd say there'll be a significant increase, Jack. Talking to some auctioneers, say at the end of last year, they seen a significant increase, but it was from a low base, say in the number of entitlements sold. Because what some farmers said is, I'll hang on this year, see what sort of value they are. There's a whole new system. The entitlement values were going around sort of 2.2 times the value. That wasn't really enticing people in, but it was on a lower base value. So some farmers said, look, I'll lease this year and then I'll decide for this year coming and what to do. So I would suspect we'll see a significant increase in business done with sales of entitlements this year.
And the trend of convergence, that still continues, Darren, you would expect, or all the soundings are. So the high value entitlements are still coming back down closer to the national average.
Yeah, so high value are coming down, low value are creeping up. Yeah. So essentially, entitlements that would be above the national average. National average at the moment, this value is around 154 euros 76 odd cent. Entitlements that are above that, they'll converge downwards. That by 2026, the maximum value of entitlement will be over, just over, I think, around 225 euros. So those entitlements will have reduced down significantly. Entitlements that are below 90% of the national average, they'll creep upwards between now and 2026 in four equal steps. The department have said this week that the paperwork that came out last year, it was very useful around entitlement values from 23, 24, 25 and 26. They're not sending that out this year, but it's available on agfood.ie. So that would have came last March. It won't come as the norm with BIS applications. So if you want to see it, you need to go back into your AgFood account or get your advisor to get a copy of it for you.
Okay, nice one. 100%, Darren, I think we'll leave it there. I think we'll come back, obviously, to that whole entitlements piece and the BIS again in the upcoming podcasts. No doubt we'll have queries coming starting now that the gate is up. Thanks for that. Chat to you next week. Aidan, there's a nice feature on the Dairy Pages there down in Dunmanway. Tough country.
Yeah, Declan Collins was down there, Jack, reviewing the performance, I suppose. What's happening on a busy dairy farm. So the Donovan's father and son team, they're milking 185 cows. I think it's two-thirds of them calves at this stage. It's tough going, as you say. Every field is on a hill, as Declan put
it. Yeah, you know, and we have, Adam in particular has this perception that, you know, if you're in Cork at all, like, you know what I mean, like, it's God's own country, like, you know, and you can do what you like when you like, you know. But, I mean, it's not the case. In fairness, it's not the case. Sure, it's not. For that part of the world, like, yeah.
Yeah, and look, I mean, East Cork, Jack, is you know, it's almost like a South Tipperary, like you could say, you know. But it's like West Cork and most of North Cork is entirely different. So you've some very heavy land in North Cork, and then you've hillier land then, I suppose, particularly around the West Cork side, where you've, you know, hills and mountains and rock outcrops, and so you're making land really there, like, and small fields as a result. So it's early. It's early country, like, so you know you're probably a week ahead of our earlier in terms of farms up north, which is a positive. But I mean, the challenges are that they're very close to the sea. They get more rain, they get a sea mist. You know, it's ground conditions are very dry in summer, but they're challenging, I suppose, at this time of year. On some farms, more of them are very free training as well, but it's very soil and site specific. But look, I mean, I suppose the struggle is real, Jack. A lot of calves coming at any one time. Yeah. They're getting calves away. It's a bit of a challenge. And I suppose in the main, they haven't much issues, like, and that's a positive. I suppose they're looking at cows in good condition score, and they're being managed for milk fever. So they're kind of the main issues. Like, milk fever is one of the issues that's cropping up time after time on farms, is that cows are probably in too good a condition score, and then as a result, they're getting the milk fever. But there's ways of managing it. You know, the magnesium, I have in the management notes this week, magnesium-free calving is a real cure to milk fever. And I think it's nearly better than giving the calcium bolus or calcium bottle after calving, because number one, it's cheaper. Like, those calcium boluses are nearly a tenner a cow. There's the work of doing it. And there's other benefits, as well, not just milk fever prevention, of higher levels of magnesium. And we've said this in the show, I think, last week again, you know, it's an important one.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, obviously, as you say, a busy spring calving dairy farm. So there's a lot of cows around the place. So this whole piece around tagging and genotyping, I don't know where that was, that team, was that farm, father and son team? Are they genotyping calves? I don't know. They were, yeah. Yeah, so I mean, in terms of the challenges there, there's a couple of issues, but in fairness, ICBF seemed, you know, they made a move this week in terms of if the sample is in the lab, was it 10 days that they're going to issue the blue card?
Yeah, so they're saying the average time sample is in the lab is 4.5 days, and 98% of samples are less than 7 days.
Okay.
So there's 2% of samples obviously longer than 7 days. We don't know how long some of them are staying in it. But they're saying that if it's in the lab greater than 10 days, they're going to automatically issue the blue card. I suppose the thing up to now is that they were saying they're not going to issue the blue card until the sample is genotyped. So they know exactly the sire, the dam, you know, what number, what to put on the card. Now, you know, it's not going to impact the CVV. That'll all be done later on. But so it's just that the at least the farmer has the blue card. If they take the calf to the mart, obviously the CVV won't be generated for that calf, but the calf can be sold. Even though there will be a genotype generated.
Yeah.
I suppose, look, it goes some way to address some of the issues, Jack, but like, you know, 10 days is a long time to be in the lab. I'm not sure how many are going to benefit from that. There is definitely delays in other areas, you know, in terms of the getting the samples sent from the farm to the lab, number one.
Yeah.
Then getting they have the work to do in the lab, and that takes time. The average is 4.5 days, according to ICBF. And a couple of percentage are greater than that. But like there's 80,000, I think, am I right in saying there's 80,000, maybe I'm right, so 20,000 or 80,000, I can't remember which, the numbers are so big, it's more of a game. But I worked it out anyway, 2% of the figure that's coming every day during the peak is around 400 calves. So if you have 10 samples in an envelope back, that's probably coming from 40 different farms. So like, you know, that's every day. So multiply that up, you can see why there's a good few farmers then that are coming on to us, giving out about it. But like, there's obviously there's thousands more that are doing in the program, and they're kind of somewhat satisfied with the results that they're getting. So like for us, we just need to keep that in context that we're hearing the bad news stories and people giving out about it, and there are a lot of farmers giving out about it. Like, there's no doubt about that. There's a little bit.
You were saying the numbers. Sorry, no, you were saying the numbers in terms of like I think now from reading that was there 250,000 calves in the last week, and if 2% of those were caught up, that's 5,000 calves. Like, you know what I mean? So 2% sounds like a tiny, minuscule amount, but it's still 5,000 calves. Like, you know, so it.
Yeah, that's the point I was making. Because I was saying that over a day on a day basis, it was whatever 400 or so. Yeah. So it is still a lot. Like, you know, I mean, if you put, you know, 5,000, that's, you know, they're coming, that's 500 farmers. But 500 farmers in a room who are all shouting, you'll hear them, like, you know. So we're hearing a bit of that. ICF are hearing that. And in fairness, ICF, they're making some of the changes to address some of those issues. But like, you know, this is going to take a while, you know, and people are frustrated because calf sheds are getting full. We've generally, calving has been very compact this year, seems to be quicker than normal. Sheds are getting full. Farmers are under pressure to remove calves sold, and that's you know, it's a couple of factors there. I suppose people are, you know, they're under pressure, Jack, and you can understand why. And this is another delay now in terms of its extra workload, extra calves to be fed, extra calves to be bedded. Sheds are full. I think a week or 10 days, Jack, a lot of the pressure will be off. You know, I mean, if you start a calf the 1st of February, you've 3 busy weeks of calving. And then, you know, the week 4 then is half the rate of calving as each of the first 3 weeks. So it is a big change, like. And I think you get over the next 10 days, the pressure won't be off now, but it'll have ease, you know.
Especially if the weather played ball to any extent and you could kind of take the pressure off the yard a bit. I mean, Aidan, so that's the genotyping piece. There's also a kind of a tag piece in terms of challenges and in terms of maybe farmers that had order tags a good while ago, still no tags arriving, even if it was maybe early January when they ordered, like six, seven weeks ago. Some of those farmers are probably a bit frustrated as well.
They are, Jack. Yeah, so I understand there was a delay in getting a shipment of tags into the country, and that's possibly one of the reasons why there was a delay. Then I suppose there's the other area that farmers that are part of the National Genotyping Program, are they obviously have to send a sample. Some of those samples are coming back blank, so there's, you know, no sample was taken. So they then need to go away and retest. And in order to do that, then you need to order a replacement tag. There were some of the farmers were left waiting at the end of last week on the phone for 45 minutes, so they say. And you know, busy time of year, it's hard to be waiting on the phone 5 minutes, never mind 45 minutes. So and they're, you know, and then I suppose as a result of having the, so they've already gone through the process of sending the lab, sending the sample to the lab. They've waited for the result to come back, and they've realized it's blank. So, you know, it's going to be another couple of weeks for that animal to be processed, you know, if presuming everything goes smoothly the next time. And then the calf is pushing on to over 6 weeks of age, and you're looking at, is it going to be, are they going to sell that calf at all without getting the TB test done on it? So you've, you know, and that's really frustrating for people, like, and I suppose there's a good few, I'm hearing reports of a good few tags breaking, vials breaking whilst doing the tagging process. It's pointing, for me, it's pointing to the fact that there's some, you know, there's some little defect here. Either farmers are doing it wrong, or the equipment is incorrect, or they're not informed to use the right tagger. And even those that are using the right tagger, some of them have sent them back because they're not working correctly. So it, there's a, you know, and there's a couple of things there that are extremely frustrating. And you know, yeah, you'd expect that, Jack, that if there was an issue here, that the tag company should be rectifying that. Like, you know?
And as you say, in fairness, it's the time of the year. Stress is high. There's a lot going on. Busy, tired, hungry. You know, the weather is poor. It's a, so any little piece can kind of tip the balance, you know.
I have sympathy, Jack, for ICBAF in the sense that, you know, it's a new program. They're rolling it out. It's world first, you know, big numbers and all the rest. There's all these issues there. But what I don't have sympathy for is someone sending you a equipment that doesn't do the job. Yeah. And that's what's happening here. You know what? I can put up with the delay somewhat, but if there's an increase in the number, and we don't know the figures, and I'm only speaking here to you with anecdotal evidence from what I'm hearing and seeing myself. But if there's if there is more of defects in terms of blank samples or broken tags than normal, just, you know, there's an issue there with the product. And you know, if I'm buying a car and it doesn't work, you know, I've some recourse for that. So the same should apply for tags.
Correct. Aidan, I just touched off it with Adam in terms of calf prices, like, and one of the points he was making, I think Tommy was in Bandon on Monday of the week, like, was effectively that entering freezing calves less than 50 kilos, struggling to find a home.
Yeah, so this goes back to the exporting again, Jack. They won't export calves less than 50 kilos. So that you're really limiting your options for a sale if they're less than 50 kilos. Whereas if they're over 50 kilos, farmers will buy them, and also the shippers will buy them. But really, if they're not less than, if they're not 50 kilos, you're limiting yourself to farmers buying those calves. And it's a big reduction in terms of the people around the ring there who are willing to buy those calves, particularly if they're Frisians. Because a lot of the farmers now, Jack, they're looking for the beefies, you know, Angus or Hereford instead of the Frisian calf.
And it's fair to say, like, they're still making good money, and, you know, they're making the kind of, you know, 200 plus 250 to 300, depending on the kind of the quality and the age of the calf. Like, so, like, that's positive, Aidan, from, you know, we were talking last week about the use of sex semen and more beef AI being used. Like, I mean, that is positive for a lot of dairy farmers in terms of moving calves.
It is. Now, there's less calves, you know, we're delayed, Jack, in terms of our market. Like, so early calves always do better than later calves. We're not yet at the peak calves through the March yet, probably as a result of the delays to the genotyping program. But it remains to be seen yet, you know. Look, I suppose the key thing is there's a differential between the beef calves and the dairy bull calves. And as long as that continues, it'll still pay to use the sex semen and use the high TBI bulls in order to generate those better beef calves. But the Frisian bull calves aren't doing too bad either, if I was looking at the piece there. It was a 70 euros for the ones over 50 kilos, kind of the average price. So, you know, you'd be happy with that. Like, once there's someone to, you know, once the ships keep sailing and there's someone for them, you know, it's good to get rid of them. But for those calves, lighter to 50 kilos, you just need to hang on to them for longer. That could be an extra week or 10 days. And I suppose don't send them, you know, get those weigh bands, check them, make sure that they're over the 50 kilos before you send them into the market.
It takes a nice little lump of a calf now to get over the, you know what I mean, for a young calf to get over there, like, it takes. In terms of grazing conditions, just looking around me here now for guys on dry ground that have grazing done, it seems to be recovering fairly well from, you know, just looking at what I see around me. Like, I mean, it, you know,
yeah.
it, It is recovering, and there's a bit of growth there. Like, yeah.
Yeah, like it was a very mild week last week, and it's gone colder since. But it was last week was really mild. And yeah, I was looking at fields myself, Jack, and you know, it's nearly hard to tell between what was grazed and what wasn't grazed, particularly if it was a week or 10 days in the difference. Yeah. Now you see the damage, of course, done in the fields, because there has been damage done. It has been wet. You know, I don't know, it was a wetter, much wetter than normal, but it's February was a wet month on top of, you know, 6 months of wet weather. So ground conditions are tender. It's challenging, but there's loads of grass out there, and regrowth is particularly strong. So I suppose, look, the forecast is looking better for the coming week, the drier, colder weather coming. Okay, it might slow down growth rates, but it's a good chance to get slurry out, get nitrogen out, and go hammer and tongs at the grazing.
Yeah. I mean, Aidan, we talked about it again in terms of nitrogen, and I was talking to some of the trade people there this week, and they're saying that, you know, sales or transfers to farm of bag nitrogen are way back relative to, you know, the last number of years. And, you know, they were even kind of going as far as to say, like, listen, there's no way the same amount of nitrogen is going to get out on farms before the end of March, you know, for that first cut silage, etc., and that kind of thing. And that, you know, guys really need to look at that, or it's going to be, they're going to be well back in terms of grass. This was their theory.
Yeah, and look, I mean, in a sense, the reason, Jack, there's less workers in the country now delivering fertilizer than there was. Lorries and transport is hard to come by because there's full employment, and everyone has plenty of opportunities to find jobs. And I suppose the point I'm trying to make is that just the physical resources needed to move fertilizer is going to be scarcer now than it was. Plus you've the fact that people have a lot less fertilizer bought now than they normally have, which only means one thing, that they want to compress the movement of fertilizer from the port to the merchant's yards to the farmer's yards in a shorter space of time with fewer resources. There's going to be a bottleneck, and farmers are going to be left waiting for it. And you could miss the boat in terms of getting your spreading dates for early silage done in time. So I think the advice there's a bit of salesmanship going on as well, that they need, you know, they want to get this thing moving, and that's understandable. But like, fertilizer is an essential ingredient in a grass-based system. So for me, I mean, I don't see much change in price over the coming 3 or 4 weeks. What's the point in waiting to buy until 4 weeks' time when you can buy now? If you can seek credit until, you know, early May, if from your merchant anyway for fertilizer purchases, if you're good to pay normally. So I can't see that as being an issue. I think you're better off to put the orders in now and have it in the yard, and at least you'll have certainty of supply when you want it.
Yeah, and I mean, it comes back to the basic economics, and I'll leave you on this, Aidan. Like, you know, but I mean, concentrate at 400 euros a ton is far more expensive, you know, even if fertilizer price goes up, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, or comes down 20, 10, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. You know, the fact that you have it out and working is much more beneficial to your farm than having to feed concentrate to replace grass that you don't have. Like,
yeah, it's still relatively cheap. You know, it's not cheap, but it's relatively cheap. And when you compare it to, as you say, fertilizer or even purchase silage, I mean, one of the most expensive things you can buy for a unit of energy is purchase fertilizer. So definitely purchase silage, I should say. So definitely, I think it's buying the fertilizer now, having it in the air is a good investment.
100%. Aidan, thanks for that. Chat to you next week. Right, folks, that's it for another week's. Thanks again to Grassland Agro for helping us make this show happen. Thanks to you for watching, and thanks for listening. Thanks to our contributors, Adam, Darren, and indeed Aidan. Thanks again to you for the questions. Any more questions, WhatsApp 0868366465. Remember, you can listen back to any of the recent webinars or podcasts on ifj.ie/podcast. We'll be back again next week. Until then, stay safe and safe farming.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.